Rob Hoffman is our guest. Robert is the head of investment counselors at Citi Private Bank South Asia. He joins us via Zoom from Singapore. Robert, thanks for being with us. I was struck today by the Citigroup's surprise index for the American economy, at any rate, and there's a very strong correlation between what's been going on with that index and the S&P as it relates to some hot numbers on the data and the expectation that the Fed is going to have no choice but to remain aggressive. So I guess we got to begin with the Fed. How much more aggressive do you think they'll be?
I think the Fed is completely data dependent right now, and the data that they're looking at is really around employment. So this is going to be a critical week as we start to see the initial jobless claims come through to get a good gauge on how much more aggressive that the Fed's going to be. Our view is that inflation still remains really tight, especially in the U.S., and so the Fed is going to remain laser focused on ensuring that they can try to bring down some of that tightness in labor markets.
Are you of the view that we will see a global recession if we're not already on the cusp of one?
I think it's all but a foregone conclusion at this point that 2023 will see a recession specifically in the U.S. But the question now is just how deep that recession is going to be. And the challenge for investors is looking through at the long-term implications of policy changes from today, because there is a long lead time for how these effects trickle through to the broader economy. So you see economic releases as well as the earnings numbers that come out later this week. Traders, analysts will be parsing through those numbers to try to make projections for where this market can go. And I think that you're going to see a lot of lost sleep from analysts over this week. And so this will really dictate the terms of how Q4 is going to go for us. So very important week ahead.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think to your point, Fed Vice Chair Lael Brainard was kind of making the case about the lag time involved when you begin to tighten. Some of the impact is not known for a while. But one thing I think we can agree on, Robert, is the fact that the dollar has been tremendously strong, and this has done some damage to the Japanese currency a bit, but other EM currencies have not been faring well at all. What type of headwind does a strong dollar represent in your part of the world?
Well, sitting here in Singapore, where you're tied a little bit more closer to the U.S. dollar, you feel a little bit less of the impact. But I think the central governments, and it forces hands of central governments and reserve banks around the world to how they're going to treat their monetary policy. So you saw Australia last week coming in and surprising markets with a slightly dovish tone on what they were doing with rates. Saw an immediate currency impact, and now you're seeing Australian dollar trading at lows for the year. I was in Australia last week when that came through, and I can tell you that there was a lot of immediate concern from business owners as to what they're going to do with some excess savings and how they're going to hedge out some of that risk. So I do think that the U.S. is exporting a lot of this concern as they continue to strengthen the dollar with interest rate increases. They're making it the concerns of other countries. And so you see what happened in the U.K., you see what happened in Australia. Expect more of this specifically here in the region.
So we've had Taiwan urging calm on TSMC and downplaying the impact of the Biden chip rules. But how much do these increase in U.S. Sino relations kind of complicate things, particularly as we're looking to the Party Congress in China this weekend?
So I think they obviously it complicates things enormously, because you're disrupting the entire global supply chain at a time that it's already been disrupted over the last 2 years, and it creates even more uncertainty. So all of the feed-through manufacturers, all of the end users are going to have to try to figure out how they're going to redistribute their supply chains to ensure that they have supply in periods of heightened uncertainty. And that's only going to increase, especially with what you see in Russia and Ukraine. And in China, Taiwan, the whole discussion there is going to have to make companies start to plan through multiple contingency plans. That's also going to continue to put pressure on inflation, because as you diversify that supply chain and get away from the lowest cost provider, you have to realize that comes at a cost.
But the intent here on the part of the Biden administration is to constrain growth of China's nascent semiconductor industry. I mean, what type of headwind does that represent to technology companies on the mainland?
It comes back to the idea that as you're trying to disrupt the supply chains, whether it's on mainland, whether it's in U.S., whether it's in Taiwan, you're creating tension throughout that entire supply chain. So making these long-term decisions is going to be a really difficult proposition, is to think about how are we going to do this for the next 5 to 10 years. So the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that we have to take this with a grain of salt, because we are at the height of political tensions, just given the fact that you've got an important party Congress in China, as well as U.S. elections coming around the corner over the next couple of weeks. So with that, you're going to see an increase in rhetoric, but I do think it dies down as we get past this really volatile period.
You were talking before about central banks and a small pivot, I guess, coming through from Australia. But how much of a concern are real estate markets globally when you do have high levels of floating rate mortgages?
I think it's not only is it levels of floating rate mortgages, it's each country is a little bit unique. You've got high debt to income ratio concerns in the UK, whereas in Australia, you just have outright high floating rate liabilities exposure. It's in meeting yesterday, as I mentioned earlier in our, at the other segment, I met with real estate developers in Australia. They've never seen, and these are principals that have owned these companies for 25, 30 years, they have never seen a faster disruption to supply and new projects. So everything is being reconsidered and refactored right now for them, and it's really difficult to make long-term decisions on development. The U.S., I think, is one of the markets, though, it's relatively well insulated from higher interest rates simply because floating rate mortgages have been really largely done away with as you've gone off this period of really low interest rates. But countries like Hong Kong, countries like UK, Australia, where they have a higher proportion of floating rate mortgages, this is going to be a very large disruption to their real estate markets. So you could see some economic pain here in the short term just from that.
Yeah, and the CEO of one of your competitors, Brian Moynihan of Bank of America, was saying the U.S. consumer is in very, very good shape now with money in their accounts at multiples of what was around during or before the pandemic. Very quickly, Robert, I can give you about 60 seconds to lay out a bull case for going long an asset right now. If I said quickly, I mean, we've got to put money to work on the long side, what would you do?
Great question. So I think one of the things that you have to keep in mind, too, is that sentiment is absolutely dripping with negativity right now everywhere that you turn. And that's reflected in positioning. It's reflected in what the outlook is for asset purchases. But as you look at this, as we go into year end, there is a real chance that you could see a surprise to the upside on earnings, just given the fact that the unit sales may be down, but the actual first inflationary prices may put upward pressure on profitability into Q4. So there's a real contrarian case to be made right now that in the short term, you could see upside to equity markets. Now, I would want to make sure that I own quality, high quality assets with strong free cash flows. I'm not sure I'd go for low quality assets with pure growth. So don't be completely out of markets, but just make sure that you maintain positioning around your risk exposures.
Robert, a pleasure. We'll see you on TV in a couple of hours as well. Robert Hoffman is Head of Investment Counselors at Citi Private Bank South Asia with us from Singapore here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.